It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Stacy and Jeff are here. We're going to talk about all the latest news, a lot of Amazon talk. We'll take a little tour of the new Amazon Spark social network. In fact, discover a few surprising Amazon features like the Amazon treasure truck. It's all coming up next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 414, recorded Wednesday, July 19th, 2017. Never a freshman. This Week in Google is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Go to ring.com/twig and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the show where we talk about all the cool things happening in the metaverse around us, or perhaps we're imaginary creatures and it's the metaverse that's real. We'll never know, but fortunately, Jeff Jarvis is here to help us navigate these waters. Hey, Jeff, good to see you. For the City University of New York is in his
Hello.
Office.
Hello, yes, here I am.
Be careful of the media you love is what your bag says behind you.
That came from VidCon.
Ah. Why would we be critical of the media we love?
Because that's how you keep loving it.
Oh. I guess considering that you're a reformed
TV that's my
critic.
Marriage.
I have this poster too.
That's my marriage. And this is also from VidCom. Go talk to people.
Marty Baron. Marty Baron. Washington Post.
That is a great quote.
That is a great quote and a good poster.
Marty Baron, yes, the journalist featured in Spotlight. And that's what you have to do if you're going to be a reporter. Go
well, he's more than
people.
Featured in Spotlight. He's actually the editor of the Washington Post.
But what Hollywood says is more important, as you know. That's Stacey Higginbotham. She is the host of the IoT podcast at IoTpodcast.com with Kevin Toefel, and has a very useful newsletter and blog at StaceyOnIoT.com if you're interested in IoT.
And who isn't?
And who isn't? It's the next big thing.
I think your husband.
Andrew, okay, maybe.
Is he critical of IoT?
He's OD'd on IoT, I doubt.
He tolerates IoT.
Yeah, there's really a limit. I have the same problem with my spouse. There's a limit to how far you can go messing with the household.
Oh, yeah.
So is the problem with your spouse, or maybe the problem's just with us? Because that's...
I don't mean the problem is hers. I mean, we have a problem.
Yes.
Whether the source of the problem is her or me, I would say it's almost certainly me. But yeah.
Yes.
So it's not that
I
have a problem with her.
I can't even get my family to do Alexa.
I love Echo. That Echo is awesome.
Can't get the family to do it. They will not do it. They laugh at me. They look at me. They roll their eyes. They're like,
I was just demonstrating my new Echo show to some visitors, and I called my kitchen, and there was somebody in there. Surprised her a little.
Did you know them?
Yes, I did know them. But it surprised her a little. Sarah, who takes care of us. But it was a great demo, and then I couldn't turn it off. She said, oh, that's okay. I'll entertain. So she's quite the singer and dancer, so it's perfect.
Oh, excellent.
Speaking of which, I just want to start here.
Please.
New podcast that's a musical.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, Leo, this is your
I missed my
wait,
book,
what?
My
what chance. Is happening?
I can see this.
Musical?
Oh, this is just, is it a Gimlet? It's another one of them
radio people. 36 questions, I think.
Stars Hamilton alum Jonathan Groff, who was a wonderful King George III. I'll be back. You'll be back. Yeah, that was wonderful. He's great.
So
it's a narrative podcast about a couple working out their marital issues through song.
Wow.
We should do an entire episode in music.
Whether it's Google or Facebook or Apple, we'll talk about it, even if it's bad.
Stacey, your turn.
No. I don't sing. That's not
Wig
true.
That the
I
try musical. To I'm telling you, this is a fresh jolt of life into the forum.
Producer here, Zach Akers said, "There's an unlimited amount of ways to go right now because the podcast form is so young and so pliable."
No, it's old. As old as Leo.
I used to be young and pliable. Yeah, I don't think, you know, okay. How can you mix up the form? How do you mess with an audience in an interesting way? Absolutely. I agree with that. That's what's not just podcasts, but new media in general gives you an opportunity to break with the past a little bit, right?
Well, in musicals it's exactly are the, like the quintessential rom-com. So having this sort of thing like opposite. For that story makes sense, I think.
Isn't it the case, Jeff, you're old. Isn't it the case that... Isn't it the case that very often when you get new media, the first thing that happens is is people try to take the old media and shoehorn it in?
Absolutely. We see the future and the analog of the past, yes.
And what more old school than musicals?
Musicals. I know.
Opera.
Opera. That's, well, I'm opera. Sure there are opera yeah. podcasts. I did not mind the idea. In fact, there's a, you know, there's storytelling podcasts. There's a great fiction podcasts. I don't mind that at all, people putting a musical in there. It's very interesting. The problem with it is the cost of production on a musical is orders of magnitude higher than just what we do.
The authorship. I haven't listened to any of it yet. You want to try a little sample?
Yeah, let me see if I can find it.
Yeah.
If you search on Google Play, they had the song separate from the text. So if you search
Oh my gosh, you guys, think of the merchandising opportunities. How could I not think of that right away?
Yeah.
You could sell soundtracks. You could license the rights to songs.
So apparently these 36 questions are 36 questions that will help you fall in love with anybody. So that's where the name comes from. Let me see, though, if I can get the little bit of the music. Groff is phenomenal.
If you search iTunes or Google Play for that title, the songs are separate.
All right. Here they also release songs from Act 1. Is this it?
There's three acts.
Yeah, this is it. Here's songs from
Wherever
Act 1.
You are, you share a lot in common with my husband, Jace.
This is Jesse Shelton. So if you just have a keyboard, I guess it's not... I actually love this idea. Here's one with Groff and Shelton.
Good.
Came out here for one thing.
I like this.
And that little one thing was to forget about you.
Ooh, that's
but
nice.
I just want to point out the list of people involved in the production. You know, written, directed, and composed by Alan Wilder and Chris Littler, produced by Zach Akers and Skip Bronchi, arrangements and music supervision by Ashar, edited and mixes by sound design, mastered by engineer, sound engineering, production manager, production assistant, story consultant, percussion, piano, cello, trombone, bass. And it's well known that to produce a musical on Broadway is significantly more than producing a play. And I would imagine some of the same costs.
Well, in that case, you also have union costs, which are huge.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a great thing, and I hope they can make money and make their way doing it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah,
I don't know. Are they doing Patreon? I don't know. I'm not sure how.
I don't know. I just saw there was a Wired story about them.
Yeah,
they did Lime Street before, which was a fictional podcast.
It was.
There's some great stuff going on. My mom is a big fan of something called Crime Town. Because we grew up.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
We grew up in Providence, right?
Yes.
So the first show is about the Providence Mafia.
And they come back to it a couple times.
Yeah. So she's a big fan of that.
Love that your mom listens to podcasts. That's great.
That's a Gimlet show. So that's great. I mean, companies like Gimlet that have more money than we do. Well, actually, I don't know if that's true. But they have more.
I'll bet you have more revenue than Gimlet does now.
We probably have more revenue than almost anybody at NPR.
Yeah, I think we do.
We almost made $10 million in revenue last year.
Yeah,
by the way, I love your openness about that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Lisa doesn't, but she's my CEO and wife. But I
think it proves the viability. When I tell people the story of Twit in the media world around the world, their eyes bug out.
Yeah.
And I show them the shows and I say, look at this. This is how you produce this. This is a new way to think about content and video and audio. and a new way to have a relationship with an audience, and a new way to think about, an old way to think about advertising. It's radio, right? But it works. And you have, you know, it's native
different
advertising.
Though than, it's, it is different than radio in a lot of respects. We only do a few ads a show. The ads are longer than radio ads, and they're much more personal than radio ads. Our audience is more engaged than a radio audience. The ads are much more expensive, and they but the ROI is equivalently high, or we wouldn't get, you know, advertisers sticking around. And we do something that nobody does. In fact, it baffles people. Lisa got an angry email from somebody the other day because he said, because we turn down advertisers all the time. We vet them and we turn them down. And he said, "How dare you?" He said, "I'm not going to propose my clients to you to have them be turned down. That's, you know, that's insane. I've never heard of such a thing." And so what really that points to is that the very big difference is that an advertisement on our shows, and I think this is true of most podcasts, at least if they're successful and they do well, is really a recommendation from the host and is based on
which adds tremendous value, which is based on the trust.
And if I accepted just anything, it would be problematic, because when somebody's unhappy with a product, they don't blame the product. They blame me almost invariably if it's an advertiser. So
Leo, not speaking specifically, but generically, what kinds of sponsors do you turn down?
If it's a product I don't like, we regularly get requests from antivirus companies and other security products, which we turn down because I don't recommend antiviruses. It's just a variety of things. It's on a case by case basis. I wouldn't say it's a category. I would say it's not a category. It's just if that's a product I can't get behind.
It's a specific advertiser. So you really just look at it on a specific basis. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's personal.
It's personal, which is why they get upset if I say no. And it is challenging to say no. I mean, we don't want to say, "Well, we don't like your product, so go away." We have to say, "Well, it doesn't fit," or "It's a conflict," or "Leo uses something else," or. But anyway, the point, I guess, getting back to the 36 questions and the musical, is it's a wonderful new medium. But like a lot of what's going on in the internet, I think a lot of companies start up with no plan or desire or means to make money at it. Mm-hmm. But just the notion, well, let's just take a chance. Let's try it. Let's see if we can generate an audience, which is great. I'm thrilled that there's that kind of experimentation going on. But that doesn't mean necessarily there'll be, you know, what's going to survive, what's going to make sense. I think it could be. The musical could be much better than the news roundtable, which I've bet all my money on.
Isn't there a Sing the News program? Or is that just something I've imagined in my head for all of my life?
It seems like there was a YouTube video.
Was that not a thing?
Yeah, I think it was.
Auto-tune the news News, yeah. Way back in the day, okay.
I think it might still be around.
Oh, okay.
The Gregory Brothers did it, yeah. So here's an example. Actually, let me turn up the sound.
Size fits all solutions.
Boring. I hear Foghorn. Boring.
Legislature override a gubernatorial.
This is an early one.
Boring at all.
I'm not feeling any romance between us right now.
You got to do it like this.
Sade, ready, set, go.
This was a pretty remarkable week on the gay marriage front. First of all, to have a state like Iowa.
So they're auto-tuning.
Not a East Coast state. Not a West Coast state. In a decision written by...
It's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
Those are the Gregory Brothers, I think. Then there's Songified the News. This is he's been doing.
Oh wait,
this.
Is that me? Is that that app that turns spoken words to song?
Thank you for sitting down with me. Were you ever bullied?
No, I wasn't.
Has it happened that somebody has done
this
something?
This is Megyn Kelly
to
in the present.
I try and unwound myself.
I feel like you're trying to get out of bounds.
I go hard. I go hard, hard. If I was off, I would not have gotten this far. I go hard. I go hard. I go hard.
I'm familiar.
Yes, you are. I say sit down, everybody. And they don't sit down. They refuse to sit down. They don't sit down. Sit down, everybody.
That's pretty good. That takes some skill.
Isn't that just like an AI?
No. Oh, I don't think you could do that automatically. No.
Wasn't this like an app pick of yours like
there
a couple
was an
weeks
app
back?
Pick, but okay. I don't think it was anywhere that good.
No, it wasn't. Okay.
That's a pretty skillful thing to do. You got to edit it and tune it and
yes.
work with it.
Although this week that we saw that you could now do an AI that can make it look like President Obama is telling you things. Did you guys see that?
Well, this is the story in general is we're getting closer and closer to a world where anything can say anything. Anybody can be made to say anything or look like they're saying anything. And I think this is what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So what was that called? But you know, there it is. Scarily realistic AI video puts words in Obama's mouth. I think it's good to talk about this only because I figure it's only a matter of time before people are going to start doing this to us, to me particularly, and people will believe this. So it's important for everybody to know that this can be completely faked. Here's an article from Boing Boing. This is researchers at the University of Washington developed an AI model of Obama's lip movements so that the bot's lips sync up to any audio track. Here's synthesizing Obama learning lip sync from audio.
Given this audio as input.
It's been less than a week since the deadliest mass shooting in American history.
Our method produces the following output.
It's been less than a week since the deadliest mass shooting.
So this is the actual video and the actual audio.
Foremost in all of our minds has been the loss.
I wish they had picked something a little less
by the people of Orlando.
Sad.
Here's the ground truth video of Obama saying the same words.
Especially our friends who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. I visited with the families of many of the victims.
Oh, wait a minute.
And one thing.
Yeah, we saw their results first.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So you got to watch this on Boing Boing, I guess. But so that fooled me.
Yes.
I did notice the lip sync was a little weird, but you see that all the time in video, especially ours.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was the original. That they showed the AI version first. Wow.
Is right. See? Eek.
Eek. Eek.
That is, yes, super scary. And so is the next step in something like that to build a neural network that can tell when those are fake? You know how, like, there's some awesome people who are really great at spotting Photoshopping for, like, Kardashian pictures? Right. Is that, like, a skill set we're going to have to develop? Yeah.
Well, right now, the researchers at the University of Washington say it would be easy enough to prove it's a fake, you know, with simple tools. But I think it's going to get harder and harder. I think that's the real point. And in this world of fake news, it's going to get easier and easier to make. Boy, that's going to be confusing for people, too, because we have been taught to trust our eyes. You know, pictures didn't happen. If you can't trust the pictures or the video.
We haven't. We haven't. I mean, we've been taught by entertainment to suspend disbelief. Around images and movies and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So it always depends upon the source.
I guess you're right. Okay.
Yeah, but okay, now think as a journalist, though, and even as a professor of journalism, that makes my job, like, so much more difficult, especially in a rapid-fire news world that we live in. And we're not going to go back to
it. Get fooled, right?
Yeah.
True. So we need to slow down. Yeah. We need to have better systems of provenance. You know, there's some simple tricks when you see a photo that's too good to be true. We announced something here at CUNY. We're working with Storyful and Moat on basically the first phase of this is a list of all the known really bad fake news sites. And one of the guys was telling me that when they see a really funny, weird, I don't believe that picture. And they verify that it's made up. Then they look on and they see that it's been put on, you know, hundreds of sites. And so there are going to be more and more technique. And the bad guys are always going to be a step ahead. Just ask Matt Cutts. But
we do have the technology. More and more techniques. You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to take this data set and try to see how much prediction we can do around both the type of content that's there and also how it's promoted and things like that. So, Stacey, you're absolutely right. It makes it more challenging. But that's why there's also always a business opportunity. Do you know Storyful? Storyful
yes.
is a startup mm-hmm. that was bought by News Corp that verifies social content
mm-hmm.
and then sells it to media companies. So there's business opportunity there, too.
But think, this gives new meaning to the October surprise, right? Because when you're the day before the election, let's see, and somebody in the chat room said this, and I think it's very astute. It's the day before the election, and you get the candidate saying something horrible. Is there time? Is there a phone ringing?
Is there a landline in the house?
I'm just ruining everything.
Wait, don't move, Jeff. Everything.
Web 1340 54K says something can turn like that. He stopped moving. Can turn elections. Imagine a candidate saying something outrageous, everybody falling for it 24 hours before an election. Or here's another one. A candidate could dog whistle something outrageous and then say, oh, no, that's fake news.
Yeah.
Oh, that happens all the time. Remember, everybody does something stupid and it's like, oh, my Twitter account was hacked.
Yeah, that's right. That's the Wiener defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that worked.
Hey, speaking of Wieners, did you see Google Glasses back? Jeff, are you going to get your Google Glass out of retirement?
I don't even get me started.
I'm not doing it again. No, don't.
This is a smart thing.
This is how it should have been all along, right?
Yes.
This is how it should have been used all along.
Should have been.
Yeah.
Yes, we argued this in our show this morning.
Go ahead.
This is a great place for business type computing to go from business to the personal because you get the economies of scale. You're going to... At a personal level, we just weren't prepared at the social kind of contract level, at the understanding of what it was going to take to make this real. But heads-up displays are something that are going to be really useful everywhere, but especially useful in the business world. And they'll pay the premium price tags. Right. They'll charge the things. Now they have a little light that says when you're recording. So, yay. We'll learn some of those awkward encounters.
Article by Stephen Levy in Wired. He juxtaposes two different visions of glass. On the left, the original vision with Diane von Furstenberg, the designer, and Sergey Brin wearing their glass at a fashion show. Nah, forget that one. This is the one that's important. This is the one that's today. This is a worker at a company called Agco. They make agricultural machinery. He comes into work.
I had them on the podcast.
You did? Sorry. Oh, that's neat. He comes into work, puts on glass, says, okay, glass, let's go. And I guess, what is it? So tell me, what is it? What is he looking at in that screen over his right eyebrow?
Oh, either videos or instructions on how to fix that machine or possibly data from that machine.
Do they use the glass? I mean, the camera in the glass? Do they take pictures or something?
They can. So they can take pictures of something and send it along. This is actually these sorts of displays have been used for a while. Tetra Pak, the guys who do the little, I can't think of it, non-refrigerated milk packs, like the Horizon Milk.
Yeah.
Those guys actually aseptic. Use Microsoft's aseptic. Thank you. I could not think
aseptic
of that word.
Aseptic packaging, yeah.
So those guys actually use Microsoft's HoloLens to repair and deal with. Yeah. And that's a VR function. I'm sorry, it's not a VR function. It's an AR function.
AR function, right.
Yes. This is a similar thing. And Epson has a whole line for industrial glass type things. But Google has got so much more, A, name brand, and B, it's got all these cloud resources behind it. I think...
So when Google stopped the Explorer program, which is what you got your glass and I got my glass under, Jeff.
Later the name would change was to the Schmuck program. But go ahead.
$1,500. That's how much we were.
$2,000 for me.
What? Oh, because you.
Because I bought the I got like ouch.
Prescription lenses.
I got prescription lenses. Thank you.
So that ended January 2015, but according to TechCrunch, they never stopped. Ron Miller says they continue to sell glass to businesses. They wanted them. So the EE, which used to be Explorer Edition, is now Enterprise Edition. And they just announced the Enterprise version on Tuesday. But glass never really left. A lot of companies, GE Healthcare, using it. Glass has been used in the emergency room at UMass Medical School. So it never went away. It's really interesting. And I guess
it went away into my closet. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. But it's not. So it's interesting. So there's a difference between glass, which is really just having a proximate screen.
Yes.
That you can read without, using your hands or looking away from your task versus HoloLens, which really, as you said, Stacey, is augmented reality, superimposing, say, instructions on top of what you're doing, which I think would be more useful.
So the two things you should just think about is both of them are a form of a heads-up display, and both of them are giving information.
Right.
And in the enterprise context, it doesn't matter if it's like fancy AR information or if it's just like even instructions for how to fix something or a reminder of how many counts for CPR that you've got to do. Like I talked to a doctor who did a CPR app for Google Glass, and that was like, it was basically a reminder for how to do CPR in this, if you needed to.
Well, here's a good example. The rhythm on CPR has changed, and we're supposed to now do it.
We're still staying alive, right?
Yeah, but that's different than the way it was before. I don't know. The rules have changed slightly. So you could have the Bee Gees playing in your Google Glass.
They did. That was part of the app.
To help you do it in the right rhythm.
Yeah. That was part of his app.
That's pretty funny.
That is.
I wonder if the Bee Gees approved the use of that.
You can't say no once it's out there.
I know.
Yeah,
you can't tell by the way I use my... Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not the part. This has now become the musical podcast.
We're getting there.
I'm waiting for the Leo and Jeff duet. Maybe you can argue about data rights.
You don't bring me hard drives anymore.
What else should we talk about?
How about Jason Calacanis?
Oh, I put this on there. He drives me nuts.
And I like Jason. He's a character, and you're right. I can understand. Here he is on Squawk Alley on CNBC. What's he talking about?
And Facebook saying they're awful. He's making fun of Google for the new news feed, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Okay.
He's saying that they're terrible partners, that Wall Street Journal and Guardian and New York Times left them, which is not really true. A few of them cut out a few things, but they're working together. In fact, I just talked to people who are very happy with them. Never really reveals the conflict of interest here, which he still runs the what does that say that he has?
Was it a launch? What was it? No, launch is the conference.
No, it's the other thing. It was on his Cairo. Oh, lower three. Inside.
Inside. This is why Jason doesn't like Google, I think. Inside, which is a newsletter, went from being a website with information to kind of a newsletter. And the reason he had to do that is because it was entirely reliant on Google search results driving traffic. It was essentially demand media. Right.
Right.
Is that unfair to call it demand media?
I don't think so. Because demand media, go ahead.
It kind of is a negative, but the idea was real news curated by real humans, and that you would be driven to these stories by doing a search for, and he had lots of people writing stories about a lot of subjects. It was demand media.
Rewriting other people's stuff, other people's original reporting.
Yeah, I guess. Did he do that? If that's the case, that's not so good. But anyway... Then Google basically killed him, and I think he wrote a piece in his newsletter about that by killing demand media, by deranking it or lowering its rank. And so he went to a completely different model, and now it's all newsletters. But if you look at it, you see the idea is similar, which is it's a lot of verticals. So these are all...
Wasn't Topsy like that, Guy Kawasaki's thing?
Yeah, there were a lot of demand media.
Yeah, okay. a lot of things were like this. Because they were an effort to just jump on to cheap content by... aggregating or repurposing.
He's got a conspiracy newsletter. He's got everything you could think of as a newsletter.
His Trump newsletter is updated like twice a week. I wouldn't say that's often enough, fella.
Now, I don't want to knock Jason. I like Jason a lot, and he's on their shows a lot.
Well, I will, because the segment... He should have revealed it, and the show should have revealed it, and instead it becomes more of this... and it's just I get tired. It doesn't get us anywhere.
All right, I gave you.
So
I have a cool story.
Before we do it, I just want to get to the news feed thing. So they change when you hit the Google app. I don't know if I've got it or not. Used to be Now it. Cards, right? Now supposedly
I still get my Now Cards.
I thought it was Now Cards, but now supposedly it's a personalized stream of news. First of all, I want the Now Cards back.
No, I think it's better.
It's still my Now Cards.
Still Now Cards, but wait.
It's just better cards.
Wait, where is this on my phone?
You'd have to get the Google app on iOS or Android, and you'd have to get it updated. I didn't get an update on the Google app in the last few days.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we don't have the latest. But I've always had some news. I've always had a smattering of news articles in my Google Now.
It's new cards. It also shows related to big stories like Trump stories, related stories to it in a carousel.
Is this maybe a response to demand for more content in
Well, so here's the funny thing. The way that the various news sites around said this was they said, like TechCrunch called it a friendless feed. A lot of others said Google has to compete with Facebook. I don't think it's competition with Facebook in the slightest. It just happens to be another feed that has news in it. So, it's, you know, they call it a news feed. They
I say, must
oh,
have
Facebook
it.
Facebook has one of those.
I do see a lot more news articles than I used to see.
There are
Here's
more
the thing that makes me sad. Google has never lived up to the promise of Google now.
And wait. No. Stop right there. I love it.
No, but it's so much, could be so much more.
Yes, oh, like what? I mean, Google now, right now, I'm in it. I get my news stories that are personalized to me. So it's got one saying I've shown interest in the Amazon Echo. I've got a Tesla story. I've got one about dogs because dogs, malware. So
it's a good news feed. But look,
but it
what's
also
not in it anymore? Here's what I have. News stories, a giant score, which could arguably, you know, the baseball team could be arguably a news feed. And then at the very, very bottom, one little tiny card in fine print with the weather. That's all.
I get my packages delivered.
Yeah, see, you're not going to get it. You've got the old one. That's going to be gone.
Oh.
Although it keeps trying to give me recipes, and their culinary inspiration card.
Oh, you do?
Sucks,
oh, I don't get that.
Sucks eggplants. It's terrible.
For the last month or two in the Google Now feed, they've been saying, don't see your favorite topics, follow more topics. Remember, what are your interests? Mm-hmm. And clearly they were aiming towards this. It disappoints me because I think what now could be is a highly personalized list of, you know, all the things that used to be, your calendar, your, you know, directions to work, traffic.
Yep.
All the
That's
things,
what it gives me.
Yeah.
It pings me and is like,
you haven't been
Stacey,
updated.
You should leave now.
I don't think
Oh, I don't want
updated.
It to be updated.
No, you don't. Because now it's just
no,
a news
feed. No, because I like it. It's like, hey, your package is about to arrive. And by the way, you should leave in 15 minutes. And
yeah, that's, yeah. Old, that's Google Now.
And that's
gone. Google, don't screw me over.
I feel
that was
like
useful.
I feel like it's going away.
If you go to the bottom, Stacey, and follow topics, you can follow IoT. Not that you need to.
Oh, dude, it knows I like IoT.
But who needs another news feed? I liked it when it had a few articles. If it were really smart and said, look, I know these are the four articles you're going to say. I must read those. And your car, I don't see where my car is parked. You know.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah, well, I'm saying,
right.
I don't think you're going to.
You're like, Stacey, it's going away. So I will say, here's a thought. Sometimes when I'm really bored, which does happen, I sit there and I scroll through all the stories. I want more. And usually I just go to more stories, but
I do
know,
that all
maybe
the time.
This is,
I do that all the time. And that's what I'm thinking. Maybe they got some telemetry.
See, I read
that
these stories.
That's what people wanted.
And I think they're just making a mountain out of a molehill. But we'll see if I get updated. And if I do, I'll come on next week and I'll be like, Google, destroy me.
Yeah, and I may be mistaken. But I'm just noticing, for instance, now the Android feed, there's no Google Now content. There's like weather at the bottom. On my iPhone feed, it still has some Google Now content, but my fear is it's just not been updated yet.
Well, I can go and customize my feed, and it tells me, oh, Google, like it tells me all the things that Google thinks I'm following, and it offers me my commute and places and.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I don't see that anymore. So I worry a little bit that Google might be turning away from something that they, in my opinion, they did a good job, but they never did as good a job as they now promised more than it delivered. There could have been so much more in there. And maybe
yes,
because
it
of privacy concerns.
It was never personalized enough for me.
Right.
Never had. Oh. I always wanted to do more. And God knows, I reveal everything to Google. I hold nothing back.
Yeah.
I've always loved Now.
Yes.
I've always loved it. And I thought it was everything. I thought it was like the future. I was never disappointed.
Chatroom says I did it. I'm doing it wrong. So there are icons at the bottom of my Google Now feed now. Do you see those three icons? The first one's a news feed, but if you click the second icon, I now have calendar, travel time, recent orders, all of the. So what they've added.
Oh, and
is
I just
column.
Got a message here, Leo. It says, "Welcome. Here's what's upcoming. Save time with info on your agenda, commute, trips, and day-to-day tasks. Yeah. All right here."
So what they've There's done little... is they've added a new tab. That's what they've done.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, I can't
Helpful
see
cards.
Your tab.
Okay. So in other words, Leo, we both say, Never mind.
Never mind. Well, not exactly never mind. This is definitely a change. So can you get a close-up, Carson, of my over-the-shoulder shot? Yes, not very close. But see, this at the bottom, there's three icons.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This is news. This is the old now stuff. And again, I'd like to see more. This is a new one. This is a clock. Introduction to recent.
What does that mean?
See what you found. Rediscover topics you've looked for in the Google app recently.
What?
Oh.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
See all of your history. So this is
my history.
Find that page.
Oh, this is good. Find that page. Want that recipe article or site from a few days ago? Save time hunting and find it here first. That's nice. All your history.
So, all right. So I take it back. They're doing exactly what I wanted them to do, which is to add capability
never mind
to Google
Now.
That's
a race to the last 10 minutes. It's fine, Google. It's fine. Somewhere you Google, know somebody's saying, no, you idiots.
But, you know, we're not going to be alone because it defaults to that first tab. And who, you know, until you know.
Just give up the message to me. Why I didn't do that immediately. You know, but I think that's part of the problem is when you get something new and it has all those blue boxes and say, hey, you can do this. I always ignore them. So the fact that it came up 5 minutes later may be smart.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so look at the bottom of your Google Now app. Now, this is on Android. Let me just see on iOS.
I don't have that yet.
Yeah.
But also, can I tell you that would be...
Eat and drink entertainment.
Yeah, so this is... So the good news is this seems to be... Yeah, there it is. This seems to be adding... It doesn't have the recent one, the little clock, but it does have these...
Oh, wow, Theo.
Oh.
At the very top.
Yeah. There's an inbox.
You have weather, eat and drink, entertainment and sports.
Yeah. Weather, doodles, entertainment.
Click on the right arrow.
Oh.
Ooh. All kinds of things.
Nearby florists, entertainment. Translate. Oh, wow.
So this was actually.
Animal sounds. Wait a minute.
What? This actually presented right. This is cool. Animal sound?
What sound does the sheep make? What sound is a raccoon? Raccoons don't make sounds. Oh, yeah, they do. What cat? Moo cow? That's a whole tab of animal sounds in my Google Now. Thank you, Google.
Wow.
These, you know what? A lot of these are. Where's Danny Sullivan when you need him? A lot of these are. Look, weather, sunrise, sunset, travel, book a flight, book a hotel. So this is actually adding a considerable amount of capability to Google Now. All right. They're doing what I had hoped they would do with Google Now, right?
Which was add sheep sounds?
Yes.
So not that level, but there's
very
a hamburger
handy,
menu.
Stacey. You don't know when you need that in an argument.
There's a hamburger menu in the old version, and that's giving me recent. So the same thing that you see at the bottom, it's giving me reminders and customize. But it is not giving me the option to do animal sounds,
for which I'm very sad.
You're
on iOS, right?
No, I'm on today. I'm on the Nexus 5X.
Okay.
Wait a second. Creepy alert. How does it know what shows I like?
So.
Oh, because of what you search.
It's based on your search. So Stacey.
No, there's some stuff I have never searched for
on Android here.
But
there's,
it's right.
There's Google, and then there's a search bar, and then there's these icons below it. You don't have those little icons below it.
No.
So I've got weather, eat and drink, entertainment, sports, and then a right arrow. And that's what opens up this page. Oh, well, you'll get an update then. And this has a ton of stuff. Including
eat and drink is handy. Whenever I'm out of town, I just click on the eat and drink. And it gives me. I love that maps, but it gives me the nearby restaurants.
Oh, my God. You have given your brain over to the Borg.
Oh, I
send out messages on Twitter, and I'm like, hey, what's a good place to eat around here? And then I get it
you
back.
Like talking to humans. You should get that
I
poster.
I can roll a die.
Yeah, roll a die. There's also some of those were Google features. You know, if you just search for roll a die on Google, it'll do that for you. So this brings me to what Amazon's doing with the, I don't want to use the A word, the Alyosha app. And this
should really try to call it something else.
Well, it's like a Saturday Night Live routine. Just pick up any word with an A.
Andrea. Yes.
Alicia.
So if you go to, now I'm going to try to remember how you do this. Is it lists?
Oh no,
I don't remember now. There's a new social network. I mean, maybe I have to do it on Android.
The
Spark network. You know about that?
Spark or is it Anytime? Spark? I don't have a social network just yet.
Well, you have, by the way, could not be more buried. I'm not sure what Amazon.
It's not a great app. This app drives me bonkers.
Well, it's overloaded with things to do.
Skills.
So Spark, let me see if I can get it here. Oh, I'm not logged. See, I must have done
where
it on
do I
some
go?
Other phone.
Where do I get it?
Music,
the
video, and
Madam
books.
A app.
Is that it? You go to the Madam A app. Things to try? No. So it's no longer. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, the shopping app. Ah, wrong app. I did the wrong
app.
It's not the
shopping app.
It's the shopping app. So you go to the Amazon shopping app. Let's try this over again. We're going to rewind this show a lot. And then you go to the hamburger menu on
the
left.
Oops show. The Nevermind show.
And programs and features. Now, when did you ever go to that? I mean, what would you get?
I don't
what would
think
you
I have the Amazon
what would you
shopping
expect
app.
There? Interesting finds, new finds from Amazon, Amazon exclusives, Amazon Launchpad, new products from the brightest startups.
Ooh, I spent a lot of time there.
Amazon restaurants, 1 hour delivery. Did you know they were doing that?
I don't have that.
I order that all the time.
And then,
I found it. I do have this
Amazon
app.
Spark. And so this is it, like Instagram of stuff, of crap to buy. You can now buy the Bezos.
I have
look.
Amazon coins. What the heck are those?
Well, yes. There's all sorts of new crap. Outfit compare. That's truck. That Echo Show thing or look thing. Treasure truck. Rolling through town with one can't miss item at a time. Dash buttons. So, but what's weird is this is so hidden.
Wait, the treasure truck was at CES. Was that a real thing?
Well, yeah. I think it's like story the, about it's it, like I the think. Gold box. Well, here it is. Wait a minute. Oh, here it is. Amazon. Show my phone again. What? There's the treasure truck. Hello, meet treasure truck. Step one.
Okay.
We handpick one must-have fresh, unique thing at a time. So at first it showed headphones, then it showed steak. Now
it's like Woot in your town.
Woot. It's Woot. Today on treasure truck, we'll send you a text revealing that day's offer, and you pick it up. There is a truck. There's a literal truck.
Yeah, that was at CES.
So
have you
yes.
done outfit compare, Stacey?
Wait a minute, I'm still doing
no,
trucks.
No, but I
slow
could
down.
Right now.
that's the Echo look built into that. We've known that. Where would you
I
like
know to? They had it on their phone. I could totally use that.
So I'm confirming my location on the treasure truck, but I'm going to, it looks like we're not in your area yet.
Not in my area either.
Never is in my area.
Sign up for text alerts and we'll let you know when
we're
coming to your
Where's outfit
town.
Compare?
Under programs and features, I have a number of credit
I don't
payment
have
products.
It. Oh, under payment products.
Introducing
no, not under. I'm saying it listed next
but,
after.
But can you look at it? I got to point out, this is insane.
Yes.
It's hidden. It's literally, it's deep
and
within.
And the three of us has different things. If you want to say to somebody,
you
hey,
can't even say, hey, have you, if, yeah. So you go to your shopping app just to see what treasures are hidden in yours. Programs and features. Now, because I've added, because I've looked at Spark, I know Spark now is a explore your interests on Spark. So I can see this. And this basically is just people posting crap they bought on Amazon that you might then want to buy, right?
Oh, if you search for Spark,
like this it's party.
Pork belly burnt ends really is a thing. Cubes of pork belly smoked and rendered. Well, they had me at pork belly. For almost 5 hours over low temperature before they're slathered in barbecue sauce and demolished by guests at your next party. That's an ad. Sponsored. Hiking must-haves. So this is kind of a neat social network. But how do you... So it's interesting. Available. Instead of doing pulling a Facebook and breaking this out into an app, they've just embedded a dozen apps inside the Amazon app in a hidden place.
Oh,
by the way,
and
Spark
you have
is available
to-
only for the iPhone. Says
yes,
here.
That's coming soon. That's why. Yeah, sorry. I shouldn't have teased you guys.
Yeah, that's okay. Not fair.
I was not looking forward to that. I am concerned about that outfit compare, though, so I'm going to have to look for that later.
Wait a minute. Well, let's do it. You're wearing a T-shirt.
Search for outfit compare.
Yeah, this is a terrible outfit to compare.
Well, let me see. I wonder if I can do it. Okay, outfit compare, style advice on the spot. Can't decide what to wear? Outfit compare. Get started. Add two photos of yourself wearing different outfits. In a minute, we'll let you know which one looks better on
Stacey,
you.
Stacey, just search Amazon for that, and it'll give you the link to it.
Oh, okay. Well, here. Okay. Yeah, because if I can do that, then I've got
pictures
of me in outfits.
So just search for outfit compare.
Okay, I'm going to take... John, come here. Take a photo of me. I got to get this outfit. So get the whole thing, though. You got to get all of me.
Including the shoes.
Move back, John. Move back.
Oh, look at that. Okay. Oh, I can only download it on the App Store.
There's outfit one. Yeah, that's nice. Nice job. Nice job. No, you can load it from your album, your library.
Oh, I see.
I'll find another attractive outfit. I don't know how I get out of this, though. I'm now in the camera. Okay. This is not easy. This is really just a come on for, you should really have the look.
And they have the reputation as the great UI company.
Well, no, do they?
They don't.
Well, in the sense that they use all this data and it's, you know, they're the best and they get everything done, but Jesus, it's never.
No, they don't have it. They have a reputation of telling you what you want to buy, but not that it's a good UI for it.
Add first outfit, photo library. You didn't take it in the Amazon app, but that's okay because you took it because I have it now. There we go. There's my first outfit. Okay, good. We consider fit, color, styling, and current trends. Okay, now I just have to find a picture of me.
I have a t-shirt that says, "You had me."
You had me
when you said, "Let's go to Taco Bell."
I saw your post. Okay, here's another outfit. This is not as
anything else.
Okay,
I wear.
Okay, here we go. You had me when you said Taco. By the way, do you love Taco Bell that much? Okay, now it's gonna compare two outfits. Okay, sending photos. Okay, don't miss our results. Turn on notifications. So we'll just have to wait a little later on. I'm gonna get a personalized notification. Which, by the way, now that I've turned it on, I bet you I get more than just outfit notifications, right? I'm just progress. Thinking.
I wonder if Amazon's gonna be
in the Taco Bell t-shirt and one picture of me in my black shirt.
There you go. Oh, Lord. By the way, do you really like Taco Bell that much?
For as strong as fast food, yeah.
We got to get him out to California.
What about Chipotle? At least Chipotle's better.
You missed years of us giving free advertising to Chipotle in the show.
Chipotle, and then the E. coli thing, and then that was it. Although
I still would eat it.
A guy came by from Chipotle corporate and gave us like 5 or 6 take the whole staff to Chipotle certificates.
No.
Yeah. And we've been eating Chipotle. It's fantastic.
Guess who was the one who gave all of this attention to Chipotle?
Wait a minute. My results are in. We think.
No love, Chipotle?
Oh, this is so bogus. So I'm wearing a black blazer, black pants, black loafers, and a white shirt. I think a very nice outfit. And the other picture, I'm wearing my insecticide repellent clothing and pants and a Tilly hat with a camera. And it said, it says it was a close call, but it prefers the Tilly hat.
Oh, man. I wish I had this app on my phone right now because I have so many things I could load.
You can't. What happens when you search for it? You didn't get it?
I got it, but it's a website that is only on the app. It tells me to download the iOS app.
By the way, I accidentally agreed, and now I have confirmed that pick.
It's going to recommend Tilly hats to you forever. Forever. Oh, and they're going to follow you all around the internet.
So the Taco Bell in Petaluma, across the street from it, is the best taco truck in the world.
Real taco place, yeah.
Elroy's Taco Truck. We tell people who visit Petaluma, don't go to any other restaurant. Just go to the taco truck across the street from Taco Bell.
I would love to go there.
Next time you're here, I'm taking you there. We'll have a taste test. You can have a chalupa.
Taco Bell is fast food. That's all it is.
Okay.
Chipotle's fast food.
Chipotle's better than fast food.
But Chipotle is better than.
You see, Taco Bell used to love years past was the enchirito.
Oh, that was good.
Okay. It was very good. They got rid of it, which was foolish.
Okay.
And then they had the grilled stuffed burrito, which I do like. And they've added too much fat into it. They have guac and sour cream, which I should say no to. But if I say no to, sometimes they leave out the beans, too. And the beans are the whole reason I eat the grilled stuffed burrito. So it's an issue. But as fast food goes, it's not bad.
By the way, I just got a text from the Amazon truck. What's it called? The treasure truck? It said, way to go. We'll let you know if we're rolling through town with something new. So I'm on the treasure truck text list now. So that's, don't you find this, I am endlessly fascinated these days by Jeff Bezos and Amazon.
I am too.
I think he, you know, we live in really interesting times where you have people like Elon Musk. Yeah, we lost Steve Jobs, but to replace him, we've got Elon Musk, we've got Jeff Bezos. Who else?
Jason Calacanis.
No.
You can't say Larry and Sergey anymore. I don't think they're really dialed in.
They're,
I don't know.
They're kind of checked out.
I think they're checked out. And Ruth Porat is not a visionary. You might say Satya Nadella, but his vision is all in enterprise, so it doesn't really interest me at Microsoft.
I think Larry's probably doing more than we know. I'll bet.
Well, I can't get excited about something I don't know, so I'm going to leave him off the list until I do.
Okay, all right, fine, fair.
Maybe he's doing something great. I know he's building his own dirigible for reasons no one.
Zuck?
Now, this is an interesting question. You put Zuck in that Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos team. You put him on that team, or
yeah, Zuck changed the society.
Okay,
he's changed society, but does he have an overriding vision?
Oh yeah. Oh, the connected world. Absolutely.
Yeah, but
when I interviewed him for the book I sent you, and you'll mm-hmm. find out why I argue what I argue. And I'm sure he would not do this anymore, but he called himself a social engineer. And yeah, he's using engineering to affect how we can connect with each other. I think that's huge.
Do you want to rebut, Stacey?
I don't, because my last interaction with Zuck was like, God, almost 10 years ago, and he was so young and so informed. So it was a really,
but I forget about his vision.
He was like a Gumby where they hadn't put the facial features on him.
He was most visionary when talking about how to architect Facebook for scalability. Right. And that was where his passion was then.
I kind of honor that because he's done a great job of that.
He was actually he was blunt and open then. He's more media trained now.
Oh yeah, he was blunt and open, but you know, he was more blunt and open, but it was about like Memcache.
Yeah.
And I like it.
You don't think that he has a vision?
I think here's my thing. I think he has a vision. It's creepy.
I think his vision is not visionary. Does that make sense? So when you look at Elon's vision, he took science and applied it to some things that are pretty freaking far out there. And he figured out a way to make what people think impossible possible in a way that feels very visionary. I'm not actually sure Jeff Bezos has done something like that, but what he's done is he's managed to do something really hard, which is continuously, he's built a reinventing corporation that is highly effective. And he knows that that's what he's
invented done. AWS too, which
I think Amazon's brilliant. And I don't necessarily celebrate their vision, because it's clear that their vision, as Ben Thompson pointed out at Stratechery, is to take a cut of all financial transactions in the world.
So do you think?
But he's very, very, very good at moving step by step in that direction. I mean, look at these things.
Yes.
So I think Elon and Jeff. Look, I feel like we're lucky enough to live in a time with two Da Vincis. These, at least, business Da Vincis. These guys are really interesting.
And we've had one in Jobs.
We had one in Jobs.
We had two in Larry and Sergey in their time.
Yep, in their
You'd have to add in. I would add in Zuck.
Well, Zuck's impact on the world certainly is right up
there. I would add in Ev Williams, because Blogger and Twitter, though he wasn't the only inventor of both, he was the tie between the two that really changed my world tremendously.
You know, he got me to pay $5 a month in Medium.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
You know why? Because so Baratunde has launched behind a paywall mm-hmm. an activism blog. They're starting to put stuff that I want behind a paywall. It's only $5. I get all of it for $5. I think Ev Williams' vision might actually, I know we were skeptical that he could do this, because he said never, no more ads.
I'll never bet against Ev.
Yeah.
After changing the world twice, in my view, I will not bet against him.
Look, this is the front page now in Medium. It's changed a little bit. It's a little different, isn't
it?
Yeah. You might like This has become a very, I think, compelling publication.
Hmm. Well, I got to look at that now. Oh, geez, another.
And this is these are things I followed, I guess.
Right.
Here now. Oh, here's the members only. Let me click the members only. This is stuff that I get because I pay. That's $5 a month.
What's the one on the right? The Underground World of Magical Resistance. Who's that by?
Lee Alexander. This is says recommended by staff. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry for members only, but I am a member. Maybe it does it not know that? Well, I'm logged in. Oh, am I? Yeah, it says member. Okay, so they have some issues on that. View membership.
You can pay us $5 a month, we'll let you read it.
So, Selling Our Grief, America's Appetite for the Traumatized. So, these are members only. See more members only stories. Shiny Car in the Night. I don't know, you know.
I'm not that bored.
You're not that bored? You have to be pretty bored.
I have a subscription, too. I'm scared. Well, like, a lot of this stuff feels very, very navel-gazing.
Yes, there's a lot of that. Too much of that.
And so, I'm kind of like...
you know why?
I can...
It's a blog. It's bloggers.
Well, yeah.
Blogging was always navel-gazing.
Right, so I don't need that.
Right.
I get enough of that. I can get that for free. I pay for, you know, good storytelling and journalism, and I pay for actual books and other things.
This is interesting. Audio versions of some of these stories? Is that new or...
Yeah, it might be Spoken Layer. They asked me whether they could do one of mine from like months ago.
Here, let's do one that Stacey will be interested in. Everything you need to know about buying an electric car. Allison Moody, a multimedia reporter who covers sustainability. Let's listen just to see. So would it be a robot or a human?
No, I think Spoken Layer, if it is Spoken Layer, I'm not sure about that, but if it is, then it's a mix, but they often do human.
Everything you need to know about buying an electric car.
That's
There's
human.
A lot to know. Here's a Handy Primer by Allison Moody.
That's not
audio
a human.
Audio versions are available only to media members.
Yeah,
really?
The internet has been buzzing this summer.
Do you think that's a robot?
About the future of electric cars. Last weekend, Elon Musk tweeted a
if
photo
it's a very
of the
good
first
computer,
manufactured
computer.
And
oh,
wow, it sounds so manufactured. But okay,
well,
yeah. Company
it's a little stilted. It's not friendly.
It doesn't sound like a real person. But yeah,
it's
okay.
Broadcast voice.
It's a broadcast voice.
I hate broadcast voice.
What do you mean?
And you know, I never hear it anymore.
Broadcast voices are fantastic.
You're not broadcast voice. You're human voice still.
I have a little bit of announcery in me still. I can't. I try to eschew
it. The only thing you have, Leo, the only thing you have is speaking with a smile.
I do that.
You know how to really well.
Somebody once called me Mr. Smiley Smile. It hurt my feelings.
I would do. I used when I was in San Francisco, I did tryouts to be like a movie critic on, you know, KRON.
Yeah.
And they'd sit me down and have to learn to read the teleprompter, all that. They'd say, now speak with a smile. And I can't do that.
What is speaking with a smile? Around.
Well, if you talk like this, you just
like
feel
this.
Pretty darn good about life and life itself. You know, those of us who are happy in the world, we smile. And the smile comes through in our voices.
Is there a female equivalent of that? Because that's like Garrison Keillor.
You could do it. Just try it. Let's do it right now. Smile while you're talking, like overly broadly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I don't know.
Just read something. It doesn't matter what you say because it's just being happy. And then every once in a while, you just put a little crinkle in your voice because you're so
mastered speaking with a smile. I'm not sure. I'm not even 100% sure what it is, but I feel really good doing it.
Yes.
Is that close?
You did it.
Yes.
You did it.
Okay, from now on, we're going to be the happy podcast, just talking with a smile.
We should just call it This Week in Smiles. Everybody's happy on this show.
Does everybody in the audience want to shoot us now?
Well, that's why when the guy, this was a criticism. This was when I was doing the site and one of my colleagues said, you're all right, Leo, but you're just you're too much smiley smile. That was his point was if it's unmotivated, happy, smiley voice, it's fake. So you have to modulate, right? Sometimes, you know, but it's good to express emotions in your voice.
I'm not bad at that.
but it needs to be. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. You can do it.
No, I'm genuinely very happy.
You have a happy voice.
I'm a happy person.
Yeah.
unless
except for those headaches.
May I ask you a personal question based on last week's show?
Yes.
Have you done the show with migraines?
I have a migraine starting right now.
Oh my God. Oh God. I feel so bad for you.
Oh.
Are you on the Topamax? This is a little personal now.
Yeah, I know. I don't mean to be too personal, but Stacey.
I just feel so bad for you.
I do too.
No, don't feel bad. It's going to be fine. And actually, a lot of very nice people from the show have sent me all kinds of crazy ideas and stuff. And not crazy like...
No, but remedies. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like nice crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
hey, if it works. Somebody told me, because I mentioned that I have a constant ringing in my ears, tinnitus, that if you interlace your fingers behind your head, but then you use a thumping with one of them against the stem of your brain, that it will fix it. But it doesn't.
It doesn't.
I think they just wanted you to make a funny face or a funny little gesture.
Dean Adele used to suggest Feverfew. Have you tried the Feverfew cure?
I have not tried the Feverfew.
I think that's an old timey remedy. Do they know what causes migraines?
They have many thoughts. It's something about they don't know what causes them. But they made a lot of strides.
They know the etiology, the dilation, and all that. Yeah,
and I used to get them, and you know, you might argue they're not full migraines, but they were to me. When Aleve was still prescription, somebody gave me a couple of pills, and it ended. It was muscle related.
Oh,
and so that alone. Well, here was the weird thing. That alone, knowing that I could finally find something that could relieve it, ameliorated the number I got immensely.
Well, I would imagine tension or the fear of getting it would probably exaggerate.
Exactly.
My doctor told me to, Aleve is naproxen, told me to, I can't remember, to take it or not to take it. He said something about it. I can't remember. I think he said to take it, but if he
how's
actually
your liver, Leo.
I think he said to take it because I like ibuprofen. He said, "Well, you should take naproxen instead." But I don't know if that's
naproxen's rough on your stomach.
It can be. It doesn't.
But I am taking. Maybe this is related because he said, "You know, you only have an 18% chance of having a heart attack right now," which I thought seemed high. He said, "That's pretty good," but it seemed high to me. But he said, "But you should be doing a baby aspirin a day." And I don't know if that was related to, like, don't take naproxen. So if you have stomach upset, maybe you don't want to take naproxen and baby aspirin at the same time. I'll have to ask Dr. Mom.
Just pick one. Pick one.
By the way, since we've talked about cardia before, this is an announcement today I just put up on the rundown.
Become a health podcast.
It has become a health podcast.
Wait, I had this Google Analytics story. We're coming back to that.
All right.
Well, we will. Just while we're on health, for just one more minute.
Yeah.
Alive Core, the maker of Cardia, which we talked about, has teamed up with Mayo Clinic to use machine learning to take their incredible database of EKGs now and predict.
Wow.
Yeah, it's big stuff.
This is Victor Dotra's company.
Vic and I talked for about an hour a week ago because he wanted to fill me in what the company was doing. Some off the record for now, some not. This came out today.
I think this is really
cool stuff.
I bought one just to have it. I forgot to ask my doc if he would like me to send him EKGs. You have to pay $10 a month if you want to send the EKGs to your physician.
Yeah,
I bet your physician doesn't want them.
I bet he doesn't want
them. No. The physicians are the best sales channel. There's something called, I think it's Cardia Pro, which is how the physicians use it, and they can get you can send it in every day, and it has value. I also talked to
Vic you've had AFib, so you're definitely a candidate for it. You would want this, because this could early diagnosis, and I have a family member
who has it, and is asymptomatic, doesn't know when she has it,
right?
So an older family member, so we've been trying to talk her into it. I don't know if my doctor will let me. It's your body. You could do it.
We mentioned it before, one of the few FDA-approved kind of devices, medical devices, you know, are emerging. It's also HIPAA-compliant. It's really an interesting product, and it's cheap. It's under $100 to buy it. The expense you want to send it to your doctor, you have to pay a monthly fee. But you can also just send it to them and they analyze it. And I gather that's how they're getting all this data that they're going to share with the Mayo Clinic. It's interesting. Did you, you must have been in our, in the agreement, which I didn't read, saying we might be sharing your heartbeat with other people.
And by the way, Stacey may be helping people in the future. And I'm okay with that.
I am too, because my heartbeat's not going to be.
Okay, fine. Well, I was going to tell you, because this was from earlier May, I think. Did you see that there is an AI that detects AFib using Apple Watch?
Yes, we talked about that. But that's okay. That's a little experimental. But it's basically because it has there's so much data being gathered. The watch can monitor continuously.
Well,
here's another interesting one. I'll give you right. A judge has ruled that pacemaker data can be used in an arson trial because the judge said,
wow.
Revealing your heart rate is not particularly too invasive.
Wow.
Although if I were a lawyer, I would argue that my client's heart rate data could not be correlated with, actually setting a fire or running around because it could have been tied to anything.
Could have been watching an exciting movie.
So let me read you the story and you can decide, okay?
Okay.
Ross Compton, a man from Ohio, was charged with aggravated arson and insurance fraud based on his pacemaker data. Compton told the police that when he saw his house burning last year, he calmly packed his bags, tossed them out his bedroom window, and carried them to his car. Authorities got hold of his pacemaker data. By the way, there's other evidence. They found gasoline on his shoes.
I would hope so. Yeah.
The authorities got hold of his pacemaker data and had a cardiologist review his heart rate, pacer demand, and cardiac rhythms from that day. The doctor went on record to say it's highly improbable Mr. Compton would have been able to collect, pack, and remove the number of items from the house, exit his bedroom window, and carry numerous and large heavy items to the front residence during the short period of time he's indicated due to his medical conditions. In other words, his ticker's not up to it. Compton's lawyer said, we take the strong position medical data regarding the inner functions of one's body designed to assist a doctor in keeping a patient alive should be safeguarded against government overreach.
So here's where I think Stacey and I will agree. I agree that that's overreach. What do you think, Stacey?
Here's what the judge, totally let me overreach. Just tell you what the, yeah, but wait, the judge said, Judge Charles Pater, there's a lot of other information about things that may characterize the inside of my body that I would much prefer to keep private rather than how my heart's beating. It's just not that big of a deal.
That's bull on a stick.
Crappy.
You can tell if someone's pregnant based on their heartbeat. You can tell if you like age-related illnesses. You can tell all kinds of stuff from someone's heartbeat.
You can tell what drug I'm on with my arrhythmia drug.
Dr. Mom also points out.
You can tell if someone's sexually attracted to you.
Oh.
Sorry.
I'm not.
No.
I am saying.
Dr. Mom says in the chat room, that's why lie detectors are not allowed in court. By the way, they measure, among other things, heart rate, because it isn't necessarily indicative of a mental state.
And that's one of these things where I think we are getting to a point where we have this data and we're drawing conclusions, but those are not peer-reviewed, scientifically valid conclusions. It's correlation, not causation, right? And I think it is a really dangerous legal precedent to say, one, it's not private, but two, that those could be, that you should rely on that when I don't think you should. We don't know. We simply do not know enough about the human body and
there's that issue, and then there's also the invasion of privacy issue.
Ah, this judge is an idiot.
EFF weighed in. Stephanie LaCombra, who is a lawyer there, said Americans should, this is actually probably the real quote, Americans shouldn't have to make a choice between health and privacy. Mm-hmm. We as a society value our rights to maintain privacy over personal and medical information, and compelling citizens to turn over their protected health data to law enforcement erodes those rights. That's the key there, making the choice between health and privacy. Like, I better not get a pacemaker because the cops will want to know what my heart rate is.
Well, indeed. And I'm going to get in trouble here politically. But yeah, there were, I forget, the thousands of people who deregistered to vote in Colorado because they didn't want their data handed over to the
So people are doing that? Wow.
Yeah.
Now, all but two states have denied the request of the Voting Commission.
Well, they denied the request for some of the data.
Oh.
Texas just handed it all over.
Sure they did.
And my dear governor of New Jersey said, fine, I think. By the way, Chris Christie, the most unpopular man in America,
He
was at a Mets game last night, and he caught a foul ball, and they booed him for that. He gave it to a kid. They still booed him.
Give it back.
We just boo him whenever we can.
You can't win. You can't win. That, you know, I'm almost starting to feel sorry for the poor guy.
No, don't do that.
So apparently I am a doofus for buying and liking the Nest IQ cam, and Gadget said it just reminds us that facial recognition needs work. I do. It's got a 6-core processor in it. It's got a 4K sensor. The idea of it is it sees what you look like and then allows you to say in a database, no, that person's okay, that person's okay. But if anybody other than those people are in my house, let me know. And Gadget's pointing out it's not very accurate. So
ready, Leo?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
By the way, this is Roberto Baldwin, it looks like. Yeah.
Oh, you got it.
Which one is that?
This is the good camera.
Stop rubbing this like that. What is that?
that's just the NetAtmo. That's the one I told you you should have bought instead of the Nest IQ.
So can I get it now?
Yeah, you can buy it now. I think it's $199.
Less than the IQ was.
Yes.
Well, I've already been told I can't have a camera in the house anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, this is the one you could get because everything's stored to an SD card, or you can send it to your own server on the property, or you can
send it to Dropbox.
It does.
So, but does it text me?
It texts you if you see
This isn't the camera. You've got the camera. Let me see if I can find the camera on here. This is the one that just tests the air quality.
Oh yeah, this is.
Oh, you have the presence.
It's called the Welcome.
Or the Welcome.
The Presence is the outdoor one.
Right.
Yeah, their names are cute.
I made a mistake because I went with Google. I thought, Nest has got to have this.
See, that's why I called you a doofus.
Yeah.
On air, no less.
Yeah. It's all right. I'm still sexually attracted to you. Oops, did I say that?
Oh God.
No, I did that on purpose. I'm joking.
The entire chat room.
I'm not interested in you at all. The camera that recognizes your loved ones. Okay. It's got a happy French song. I'm just going to turn that down a little bit.
Oh, wait. Last week, I said something wrong, you guys. Fabaro, when we made fun of my pick last week.
Yeah?
It is not an Italian company. It's a Polish company.
Oh, well, that's easy to be fooled. Fabaro.
So, I felt like I had to say that.
No, that's good.
I felt a little bad that we had such fun with them. The audience liked it.
Oh, yeah. No, they liked it. Except when I called them Italian. Fabaro.
Oh.
Any press is good press.
Yeah, they didn't seem to mind.
No, yeah.
My Twitter account was fine.
The NetAtmo. So do you have the outdoor one, the Presence as well?
I don't.
But you have been using the Welcome for a while, or you just got it?
Yeah. No, I've used the Welcome for a while.
Oh,
I've had this for like...
You took it down you could show us.
Well, I took it down a while back.
Oh.
But yeah, I've had a net. I've had the. I reviewed it like 2 years ago.
So you can. So it does have local storage, but you could put it on Dropbox.
Yes.
Oh, so you really do control it. I think you're right. I think that's probably a good idea. It seems to have the same capabilities.
It does.
But you're not putting them on a Google server somewhere.
Right.
Okay.
And it talks to lots of things. I don't think it has an Echo integration. So, but that's because it doesn't go to the cloud, possibly.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So,
all right. I know you want to do this Google Analytics story. Can you hold for 1 minute?
I can totally hold.
Are you having an earthquake in there? Everything seems to be jiggling.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm twitching.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I'll stop.
Are you seeing spots or anything? Are you okay? Everything's okay?
Yeah, I'm totally fine.
Okay.
I'm just...
Is your vision narrowing? Okay.
No.
Okay.
I lose vision in one eye when I have a migraine. So I can always see out of the other one.
That's because you're going like this. Ow! It hurts. Ow! God. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. You're still working on your doorbell story for Wirecutter, right?
I know. I'm so sorry. Y'all will be the first to know.
I want to put in a plug for the Ring video doorbell, my personal favorite, the one I use, the one I have connected in my house, the one that I have hooked up to my Eero's. The Ring video doorbell is awesome. You know I use it because every once in a while you'll hear wind chimes come from one of my phones if I forget to mute them. That means somebody is walking by my door. Or you'll hear bing, 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 and that means somebody's rung my doorbell. The Ring video doorbell is a doorbell with a camera, a microphone, a speaker, and motion sensors. It replaces your wired doorbell. They have a version that has a battery, so you can also replace or put a doorbell anywhere, even if you don't have wires. It was easy for me to install, and it helped that the kit with the Ring box came with everything I needed, a screwdriver, drill bits, if you need that. I did not. A little level. And once it's hooked up and paired to your Wi-Fi, if anybody goes by your front door or anybody rings your doorbell, you will be notified wherever you are, anywhere in the world. It's really a remarkable thing. They've actually extended it to include the floodlight cam, which is a motion-activated camera. It's basically the doorbell minus the doorbell. It has a floodlight attached to it, too, that lights up when people walk by. You get HD video, two-way audio. You'll know anytime somebody just steps on your property. You can even see and speak to visitors. Or set off an alarm, because the thing has a very loud alarm on it. When things go bump in the night, you'll immediately know what's going on. The Ring floodlight cam and the Ring doorbell. Wall Street Journal's Best of CES 2017, and now we've got kits for you. They call them the Ring of Security kits. Either you get a Ring video doorbell, your choice of either one, two, or three floodlight cams. You connect it with your favorite smart locks, your hubs. I can actually say to my Echo Home, Echo, show my front door, the Ring, I can see through the Ring. With Ring, you're always home. Deliveries, I know what's going on. They have this great program called Ring Neighborhoods, where you can see other people with Ring doorbells in your neighborhood. They've been doing this in Wilshire Park, an LA suburb. They put 1 in 10 homes got a Ring doorbell. And that reduced in 6 months burglaries by 55%. 1 in 10, 55%. That gave them the idea to do this all over. So I can see who else has a Ring video doorbell in my neighborhood. And if they participate, I can see what's going on outside their door. So it's a neighborhood watch program powered by Ring. I just love this. Take a look at it. Go to ring.com/twig, ring.com/twig. Take a look at the Ring of Security kits. Get your Ring doorbell. Get set up. They have regular Ring kits and Pro kits as well. The Pro is the one without the battery. It's slimmer. It's got a 1080p camera in it. And these, you know, I have to say these floodlight cams are gorgeous. You know, I've had floodlights in my house. This is much nicer looking. Really, really sweet. Save up to $150 now. Ring.com/twig. We thank them for making This Week in Google possible. Leo Laporte with Stacey Higginbotham from Stacey on IoT, the podcast, iotpodcast.com. She's at Giga Stacey on Twitter. Jeff Jarvis, professor of journalism at CUNY, the City University of New York, blogger at buzzmachine.com. He's at work today, but you're soon going somewhere.
To Washington, D.C., to a panel discussion tomorrow morning with European members of parliament and American people. I was invited by a former FCC commissioner, because they're going to try to, you know, basically convince the Europeans not to regulate speech.
Good. That must be Julius Genachowski.
I was like, Wheeler, Genachowski?
Nope.
Cops?
Nope. Susan Ness.
Oh, all right.
Oh, old school.
Going old school.
Oh, my light thinks I'm dead. There it is. Sorry.
It's like, right. What is happening there?
Google Analytics. I don't even understand this article in Search Engine Land. It says it's something called Ask a Question. Stacey, you better explain.
Oh, okay. I just thought this was cool because it's using, if you use Google Analytics,
which I do,
lots of people do.
Love it.
All of that data that's on your dashboard right now.
Yeah.
What they're doing is letting you just ask normal people questions like, how many visitors did I get? What percentage increase, you know, did my site see year over year in June? And it'll just tell you.
Wow.
You don't have to look up the data and everything, yeah.
So it's right. kind of like search, but...
But for business.
But, I mean, it's
your own data.
It's language, normal language, yeah.
Right, yeah. Natural language cool. Search.
Natural language, there you go. That's the word. That's the word I was looking for.
Wait, so, like, it supports what and how many types of questions.
So
what is my traffic in June of 2016? And then, how many visitors came to my site from Twitter last month.
This is
so how else do you see this being used?
I think about, so this is to me, what this is indicative of is voice becoming such an accepted user interface to cycle through the massive amounts of data that we have available to us. And honestly, I'm surprised it took Google this long because they have such expertise in this area. But I also see something like this. If I were Tableau or some sort of popular ERP software, I would be tying my data backends with things like the Echo in building these types of natural language voice interfaces.
Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah.
Because this kind of data, having it available, like think about any time you're in a meeting and you're like, oh man, you know, what was our revenue for this point, you know, and you're trying to figure out like brainstorm stuff, having something that you could just ask and give it to you, that's great. That is what computers do.
That would be so awesome.
So yeah. I was excited by this.
Echo, how many uniques did we have last week? Things like that would be so useful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking on our site. I don't see where I would do that, but maybe it's on the app.
It says it is coming to the desktop. For the first time on the mobile app, users will also be able to use voice to surface data in Google Analytics after clicking on the Analytics Intelligence icon.
Oh, okay.
And it will be available on desktops as of Wednesday.
Oh.
And the asking a question functionality will start rolling out over the next few weeks.
Well, there you go. That's why I don't see it. But I will soon. That's fun. I'm going to play with that. I'll give you
I just think, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of enterprisey, so, you know.
I'm really down market. Apparently, according to Amazon, I should wear more bug repellent impregnated clothing. So I'm going.
Hey, you know, Zika's a thing. Do you want me to turn on the lights in this room?
No, it did get dark. I kind of like it. It's moody.
Yeah, it's
moody. Very noir.
Okay.
Stacey Noir. Stacey After Dark.
Like the least noir person out there.
Google says it doesn't underpay women. And we don't have to tell you. We know this. This is a federal judge has actually agreed, has limited the information the Labor Department can request. Remember, Google refused to give this information. A federal court moved on Friday to spare Google from turning over information about how well it compensates women.
Is it not passing it over worse PR than passing it over? And I don't get this.
If you're paying attention, I think... Lately,
there's so many more egregious things happening to women in the tech industry. Maybe it's like,
yeah, that's right. This would be a good time just to kind of look over there.
Well, an important thing that's going to make a difference here. Sundar Pichai tweeted this out today. Is the AP computer science test story?
Isn't that great? I am
so good.
Excited. So I hope it's meaningful. I tweeted it as well. Turns out that, and they think it's the Hour of Code and Code Academy and all of this, push to get more young people involved in coding. Let me see if I can find the.
It's on the rundown.
Yeah, I also here it is.
AP.
Female, Black, and Latino student participation in the AP computer science exams has more than doubled in the past year. More than 29,700 women, or girls, really, took an AP computer science exam in 2017. That's a 135% increase. And 10 years ago, so 29,700 this year. 10 years ago, 2,600.
Amazing. Great. Still not enough.
Yeah.
But
Black and Latino participation, 170% increase. More than 22,000. That doubled.
So that's taking. So how many passed?
Well, that now don't.
Stacey.
No, there's a lot of effort to get kids who are not necessarily prepared to take it.
This really means they took the really.
Okay, I went to a school that was super competitive.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be a total jerk, but you know there was tremendous like. You know, AP tests were like a freaking badge of honor.
So what you could be seeing is merely the push from the schools to get these kids to take them as opposed to a genuine interest.
I hope.
And there's certain, and it could also be a rise in the number of AP computer science classes out there, which would make a lot more sense. Because it is. I'm not, again, this is not a negative thing. I'm just kind of like, a lot of kids took a test.
So here's my question for both of you. Do we ever get to a point where we have a surplus of programmers? We've been in this terrible shortage. Is there a point where we could to your point, Stacey, we could overdo sending kids to teach programming and then there's not the jobs for them? Is that ever possible?
I think the type of programming skills, like the basic programming skills, that'll eventually, everyone will know how to do it for the most part.
I don't think this is really about making more computer scientists, as just making more diversity in computer scientists.
Oh, I agree with that. No, I'm just talking in general. Could we make a mistake pushing, because basically we say to every young person out there in the world, you know, instead of saying plastics young man, it's programming young woman, and everybody should be programming. Do we get to a point where like lawyers and MBAs, actually, we don't need as many as we thought.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of saying, I actually disagree. When President Obama said he thought his daughters ought to have studied coding and that everybody, he actually said everybody should study coding. I don't think that that's actually true any more than everybody should study woodworking or plumbing.
Is it a way, okay, now, oh, not a, not a
we would say,
devil's advocate. Go ahead, Stacey.
Oh, I was going to devil's advocate. I don't know. We say that everybody should learn how to read and everyone should learn basic math. And I think coding may become part of that because it's going to become kind of the lingua franca of a tech society. So I think having a basic understanding of that is actually probably really good. Do they need to be, you know, awesome programmers? No. But understanding it, yes.
Yeah, and actually this AP test was really a very fundamental computer science test that they're talking about.
And I should also note, because someone did point it out, and they're right, you can score from a 1 to 5 on the AP test, and there is technically no pass-fail. But if you don't get at least a 3,
The idea is that
I'm going to call you a failure.
Actually, by the way, there's a lot of controversy, I think, over the AP system.
AP test, yeah. Oh, yeah, amen.
Mm-hmm. I was not a freshman ever because I got credit for all of my classes taking AP tests.
Wow.
Because I'm a super nerd.
Now it's nearly impossible to get credit for them.
You must be smart.
Yeah.
The Atlantic had an article a few years
ago.
Never
a freshman. That's your biography title.
Yeah. Never a freshman.
Yeah. AP classes are a scam. The College Board earns over half of all its revenue from the courses.
Jeez.
And this is 2012, but this has been going on for some time. And there's definitely some thought that this whole AP thing and the kind of pressure that you were put under in school to do it, Stacey, is really a profit center for the College Board more than anything else.
I was like, I'm a typical girl. We're overachievers. Yeah, that's what we do.
That's what we do, man.
I don't know if coding per se. I mean, look, I love coding and I encourage people who are interested in it absolutely to pursue it. And I especially encourage parents with daughters who are interested in math and coding and science and technology to strongly encourage them. It was a wonderful call on Sunday on the radio show from an aunt whose 8-year-old niece had gone to code camp. And she said, what do I do next? You know, she talks about it all the time. That's great. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of kids who pushing them into a coding class is just going to,
But I think learning the fun, I'm not saying they have to do it for the rest of their lives, but, you know, I didn't love trig, but, you know, you have to know how to do it.
Do you?
So.
Do you really?
Not really. No. No, you don't.
I love it too, and I love algebra, but I don't think I've ever.
Okay, algebra is different. That's like algebraic thinking. That's a whole way of solving problems in the world.
Trig I've used in coding. Yeah, actually, computer scientists use trig a lot.
Oh.
Because, if you're moving stuff around, you've got to understand, vectors, grids, X, Y, and vectors and all that stuff. But, for computer graphics, trigonometry is a necessity. But I can't think of any other. Carpenters? What are you saying, John? Who uses? He's saying it just makes paths in your brain, like one of those wood borer ants.
Got it.
Yeah. No, that is the argument, by the way, for teaching math. When a kid says, well, like you said, I'm not going to ever use algebra. No, but you're learning a method. You're learning a method of learning. You're learning a method of rigorousness. That is the argument for it.
Math is really useful. Like basic math is super.
Arithmetic
I got my first.
Is.
I got my first job as a journalist. I kid you not. The question they asked me that clinched the deal, they were like, do you know the formula for percent change?
Oh.
And I looked at them like, are you kidding me? And then I was like, of course I do. And they're like, you're hired.
I agree with that. And I'm sure Jeff does too. More and more, if you don't know statistics and probability, you should not be a journalist, because those kinds of fallacies can really bite you.
Yes, yes. Our numeracy is very bad. Innumeracy,
that's the word.
Yes. Innumeracy. Innumeracy.
All right, what else? What else? Google's using... Oh, we didn't do it last week. Do you want to do the Amazon AI that's designing phone cases? I forgot to do it last week. Have you seen
that? Oh, is this
that?
The ugly phone case guy?
So Amazon has been doing an experiment to design phone cases using artificial intelligence. And it's actually, you can buy these cases on, what is the name of it? My Phone Case, something like that. My Handy Design, that's it. My Handy Design.
Handy is the German word for mobile phone.
Oh, my Handy. I get it. My Handy Design. All right. So here are some of the designs that are on Amazon, designed by a computer. Adult diaper worn by an old man with a crutch cell phone cover case. I kid you not. The toilet paper tube collection cell phone cover case. Let's move on. Some of these. Old woman with asthma inhaler cell phone cover case. Worried teenage girl in bedroom with pregnancy testing cell phone cover case.
So, wait, how did they
this is my favorite. This is my favorite. This is for you. Cheese wheel on, it says baddie, but I think they mean body instead of table.
Did it just take any photo there was out there, or how did this
understand.
Operate?
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know, but it makes for good. But I think maybe this is a good case. Cheese wheel on body instead of table. Oh, I definitely want the galvanized steel wheelbarrow cart isolated on white cell phone case. No, I don't know. I guess what happened is they let loose something that would just take any image and offer them for sale, whether anybody would want them. And then, you know, maybe they didn't sell any. Or maybe.
I imagine they did not. Or maybe. So a lot of.
They did.
Some of them.
Maybe.
The cheese wheel, I could totally see my friend sporting that one.
Yeah, I think that's pretty funny, actually.
Oh, I had the best sandwich, street food in New York.
Oh, yeah? Tell us about
it. A place called Baked Cheese House. House, H-A-U-S, German spelling. And they're on this, in New York now, on like 34th Street, for a few weeks, you'll have these sheds. And it was raclette cheese and a thin slice of prosciutto. On the beautiful bread, and then another little just daub of cheese on the top. I took a picture of it.
Why are you bringing this up?
I have no idea.
You showed a half-naked man with cheese.
Cheese wheel.
Cheese and that's where Jeff's brain is.
I've seen this half cheese wheel be melted onto my sandwich, and I want one right now.
I've often called this the most intellectual show on Twit, but now I'm going to call it the most discursive show on Twit.
And it's better than Taco Bell. I will grant that.
It's like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. We're just
there's it's the summer. There's not a whole lot of exciting news.
Well, wait. How about this? Facebook executive and former journalist Campbell Brown says we're launching a new subscription product. This is almost exactly the same time as we talked about this last week. As the big publishers went to Congress looking for an antitrust exemption so they could collude and negotiate with Facebook and Google.
The announcement would be coincidental, but they have. I wasn't allowed to say.
Oh, you've known about
this. Not because of the relationship I have with Facebook, because I went to a Facebook event, which was off the record with publishers. But the publishers have been asking for this for a long time.
Finally, a way for them to monetize, because people have basically. People like the Wall Street Journal have been just basically giving Facebook content without any way to monetize it, right? Is that what they...
Well, it's really more about the funnel. It's really more about saying, it's not that you're monetizing the content on Facebook. It's saying that if somebody comes along and they happen to like a lot of your stuff, then you ought to be able to pitch them a sub at that point. You also ought to be able to cut them off if you say, okay, we don't allow you to read that many stories. So that the rules that exist, and what it will do is, it will, if you want to buy the Wall Street Journal, it will send you to the journal site. The journal will close the transaction. The journal owns all the consumer information about this. So it's really a way to get down the funnel. And publishers have been begging for this a long time. I talked to a major, major publisher yesterday who said that Facebook did a good job of listening to what the publishers wanted and fed it back. Now, the only fear other publishers have is those that aren't dependent on paywalls say, that doesn't help us. We still want advertising. You know, don't go too overboard and thinking that solves all the problems of media. That's just those big guys who can afford to have paywalls. Nonetheless, it shows they're trying to listen. They're trying to do things. I think that's a fine and dandy thing. And I think AMP has included a paywall consideration of that as well, so that they're finally at parity on this.
Let's do some more Amazon stuff. How about real quickly, Amazon has also been rumored to be launching a messaging app, which I think is really smart, capitalizing on Google's complete inability to figure out what the heck it's doing in messaging.
Apple, if their messaging is as bad as their ability to like connect people on the stupid Echo for their communications effort,
maybe
it's going to fail.
Yeah.
Amazon is not a social place to be. I don't connect to people on Amazon.
What if you just said somebody else, but the app, yeah, you're right, I guess. The thing is, you'll be able to shop with it, of course. I think, here's what I think. You know, we talked about Line, which is huge in Japan, WeChat, which is huge in China, and they are used to do everything in these countries. And no one
there
has
really, you've got a point.
Nobody has really tried to create that kind of app in the United States. I don't know why.
Because there's a lack of competition there.
Maybe, yeah. Because, yeah, it's true. Part of the problem with messaging apps is, you know, there's just so many of them that the market's so fragmented. Yeah. If you could own the market, though, as WeChat and Line do in their respective countries, you can buy train tickets on WeChat. You also have the advantage in China that a lot of people don't have computers at all, but they have smartphones.
Well, there's also maybe a cultural thing. Like, we have this kind of weird cultural thing about selling out, and there are some people do, not everybody.
Yeah.
But like, you don't advertise things to your friends. Like, I mean, I even feel weird passing on affiliate links, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
So it may just be like, we talk about different things. I don't know.
But this came from a site called AFTV News. They have a graphic. Apparently, Amazon's begun surveying customers to gauge what features are interest. They have a graphic from the survey one of the customers passed along. Everything you've always wanted in a messaging app. So here's what it says. Everyone's on it. Reach all your friends just using their name. No numbers needed. That does sound like the broken system that's the Echo uses. Keep private and secure. It's got encryption built in. All chats are automatically encrypted. Works everywhere, desktop, mobile, iPhone, or Android. Great for groups with app mentions, fast photo sharing, and video chat. Group messaging is easy and fun. High quality voice and video calls. Amazon obviously is working on something like that with the Echo. Call a friend one-on-one or get on a group call. It's always free. And, of course, the obvious stickers, emojis, animated GIFs. Filters. They've got games. Challenge friends and groups to games. Customize chats with color coding or add nicknames. Share your location. Listen to music. Order food together. Split a bill and a lot more. And I think this is really for Amazon. This very last one is the most important thing. Chat with businesses. Get super service on your terms. Make reservations. Check on your orders and even shop. So you're right, though. I mean, you got to get critical. Don't you have to get critical mass for this to work? Your friends have to use it.
Right. That's always the challenge for messaging.
Oop. Well, Apple has this advantage because everybody who uses an Apple device uses Apple's messages, right? It's just not cross-platform. But Apple, I think Apple could do a lot of this stuff. They've talked about
Apple likes privacy, remember?
Yeah, and that's the problem for them. And then on an Android device, you can pick a third-party app as your SMS app. So you'd have to somehow convince everybody to download it and make it their SMS app. Then it could be almost universal. All right, maybe this is going to be a challenge.
They may do it, but I'm not.
Will do it, but whether it'll succeed. Is
how matter. Much money will it take?
Right.
And there are things they failed.
Oh, many. Look at the classic example, the Fire Phone.
Right.
Big flop. I tried to get this, but I couldn't. Now, I should mention our sponsor is Blue Apron, is one of our sponsors. Amazon is doing something very similar. They call them Amazon meal kits, but you have to be in a certain area. When the word of this came out, Blue Apron stock tumbled because everybody's afraid of Amazon getting into their market. So this looks so much like a Blue Apron card.
It does.
They could have stolen this from Blue Apron, right? And it's the same idea. You get all the ingredients. I wonder if they'll be using the Whole Foods. Yeah. The prices are more expensive, I have to say. 17 different meals, not nearly the range. And they offer, the prices start at $15 up to $19 per meal. But of course, Amazon can control that price. That's pricey, I think. Yeah. And
that is pricey. Although with Blue Apron, because they're quote unquote negotiating with growers, doesn't that help reduce there's a Whole Foods markup you've got to take it beyond just Whole Foods, but like.
Right. No, I feel like Blue Apron has the logistics down. They've got, they've put a lot of energy into the. And again, I know they're a sponsor, so I don't want to sound like I'm bigoted on this. There's other companies doing this. HelloFresh, there's quite a few.
I've tried a bunch of meal plan kits, but they all have the same problem, which is you have to actually make the meal.
Tarson, yeah, right. But you know what? I've also tried the ones where it's prepared and it's not nearly as good.
You know, there's that new oven out. Did you see it? The Tavala?
I'm not buying another oven. I just bought the June oven. Because of you. Tavala.
Oh, that's a good oven. That's a good oven.
I like the June oven. I'm not complaining.
The Tavala is the $400 oven that has a subscription meal plan affiliated with it.
Oh, and
so
no.
It's a steam oven. Yes.
So that's hysterical.
Yes.
So when you buy the oven, you have to subscribe to their meal plan?
Yes. And then what happens is, you found it.
It steams it.
You scan it and it does the steaming. So, ta-da!
So this is going to taste like dorm food.
The Wall Street Journal review said it tasted pretty good. I haven't tried it. So
you don't have to cook it. There is an advantage. They do the prep.
And the meals are like, I think, between $12 and $15.
Yeah. But that's, that's kind of, I think, a little premium if you're going to have it cooked for you. I wish I didn't have to buy an oven for it.
Well, and I have many thoughts on this. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
I don't have any more room. I already have a June oven.
You're like, Stacey, I already bought an oven. Don't tell me about any more of your smart cookery.
No more ovens.
No cookery.
Jeff, are you still there? I think we lost you.
I'm still here. I came back. You see me?
Yep. So Bixby.
Oh, right.
I got it. So
you got it?
I got it. I have my Samsung Galaxy S8. This was the phone made with a dedicated button just for the voice assistant. For the whole time I've had this phone, all it really did was launch some Fakatka Google Now style cards. Suddenly, the Bixby assistant arrived today. She's here. Would you like to hear her?
I would.
All right. I'm going to play her voice.
Don't forget to include a specific app or generic service name for what you want me to do. For example, Google Play Music or Google Maps, or a general category like music or maps, like this.
So she's given me some choices. So what?
Just remember to use the app name or service and tell me what to do.
She's more designed around
opening apps
and giving them commands. So for instance, open Google Play Music and play the top charts. Open Contacts and find David. Open Messages, show me the latest message. Open Settings, make the display brighter.
Open Sesame
and make my dinner. Open Camera, take a selfie. Here, let's try that one. Oh, wait a minute. I'm still getting tutorials.
I can work with all these apps, so let's make sure they're all updated.
Okay, update. I think they are all updated.
How many apps can she work with?
It's all Samsung apps. So it's Samsung email, video player, voice recorder, Samsung Notes. It's apps nobody uses. Although, wait a minute. I take it back. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. It says these are in the labs. They don't work perfectly yet, but Bixby will learn as you use them. Try them out now. WhatsApp, Twitter, Tumblr, Gmail, Google Play Store. Oh, so they are okay. So they are adding some.
Lots of things. Take a look. There are nearly 3,000 different things I can help you with. To find out what I'm best at, check out My Bixby in Bixby Home.
Show detailed information about my robot vacuum. It's one of the commands. Turn off iris recognition in Samsung Pass. Turn on airplane mode. Change the view mode for the SD card. It seems very focused on the phone.
As we interact more, you can gain more experience points. Move up to higher levels by gaining experience points. You can also check my newer looks and participate in special promotions.
What do you think of the voice? It's a little. She sounds
not as friendly. A little more robot-y.
Ready to go.
Oh, there she sounded friendly.
Yeah.
Woo.
That was a smile. Enjoy free offer from Google Play Music for Bixby users. Get 14 days on us. Or get your first 3 months on us. Payment info required. No thanks. I already have it. Okay. Press and hold the Bixby key, then tell her what you want to do. Let's see. Let's see what the robot voice sounds like. What time is it now?
All right. It's 3:41 p.m.
Well, it's the same voice. That's pretty good for a robotic voice.
Is there a male voice?
Yes, I'm told. Somebody said yes. I'm at Bixby level 0. So they're trying to gamify it, which is dopey. Yeah, language and speaking style. You want to try the male?
Sure.
Here's the male voice. Bixby male. Okay. What time is it now?
Okay, it's 3:41 p.m.
That's fine. Level up in Bixby and you can earn Samsung reward points. Just what I need. Okay. So it's not, the nice thing is it doesn't directly compete with Google because it's really more about using the phone, I think. Nah. Anyway, Bixby's here. Are we excited? At least this button does something. Oh, she's listening to me. You know why? Because she does. You can give him a command, which for me is Tilly Hat. Tilly Hat. Well, it doesn't work. You can have a two to four syllable password. Open the gallery app and show me my latest photo. That did it, but doesn't say anything. Oh, good. So that worked.
Oh my God. Amazon just recommended the best item in the world to me.
You're so bored. What? She's so bored. She's looking at her Amazon recommendations.
I'm like, I'm playing with the Amazon app still.
I think Elf this is earbuds. A better app. Yeah. What?
Elf earbuds.
Oh.
And look at Elf's ear design. So they're earbuds that have elf ears on top of them.
I like that.
I am sold, man. They're in stock on July 25th.
Oh. Okay. Well, wait a minute. Urban elf earbuds?
Yes. Yes.
Wow, they are. They're flesh colored.
I know. Well, some people's flesh colored.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good point.
Ooh, that's creepy.
I think
that's
ugly. Yeah. Do they have?
Okay, but look at the picture of the person wearing them. Yes.
Do they have?
Look at the double takes you would get.
Oh, okay. I'm buying these.
See? It's awesome.
Okay, I'm buying them.
All right.
Leo, are there Mr. Spock earbuds?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question.
A real seller. No.
You know, imagine those with those LED lash things that you bought, and then boom, you are ready for
it.
Oh, I ordered them, but they haven't come yet.
You can freak people out. Okay.
Okay. When I come on the show with my elf ears and my LED eyebrows or eyelashes or whatever,
I'm going to be very excited.
I am too. All right. I think we can say safely that we have covered everything that matters.
We have done everything of note.
Everything of note.
In the world of Google and the cloud.
Yes. At Net Neutrality Day of Action, organizers say 10 million people saw the protest, 2 million comments to the FCC. The FCC
and
has said we're
none of it's going to matter.
Yeah.
And the FCC has said we're not going to show you any of those comments. Sorry. You know, nope. Don't care.
Hey, but if you send us other comments, like about the voting commission, we'll totally mail that out to everybody.
Yeah, we'll let you know about those. Yeah.
Hey, let's have some picks.
Let's
cheer
do some
up.
Picks.
She's
give
really
me a,
eager for her pick.
You already, yes, Stacey's got a pick. She's been excited about it all day. Go ahead, Stacey.
Okay, guys. You're going to love it. It looks like a breast pump, but it's not.
Well, that's good to hear.
That's a
start. There's a lot happening here.
It's a box. There's wires.
There's wires. There's things. I should probably have plugged it in. Oh, okay. Sorry, you guys.
You go ahead. You plug that in. You know, yes. I think, Stacey, you should wear those Urban Elf earbuds on the show.
That's
quite a look.
It would be certainly... Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
It would be different.
Yeah. It has a microphone, I think.
Well, I have a microphone.
Now Bixby's talking to me. You. This is going to be another thing that's going to listen. Help fix thin brows for mature women pro makeup artist. Cryptic crosswords for dummies cheat sheet.
All right. So what I have here for us today is Smart Nora.
What?
Oh, did I bring...
You left Nora at home?
I left part of Nora in my bedroom.
Go ahead, get it.
So, okay.
While you're getting Smart Nora, Jeff will give us his number of the week.
So we could do the fact that tech stocks finally beat their record from 2000, but I think that's boring.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, right? It took that long to get back up after the crash.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
How about...
But I...
Okay, go ahead. I was going to give you a number. You do another number.
Another number. Kevin Roos did a really good piece in the New York Times in which he joined scores. I thought it was about 100 private groups on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
It was a really well-done, intelligent, open and curious piece saying that in this world where Zuckerberg is trying to go to communities, maybe the answer to civility is private communities where you're not showing off to the world and you're talking to people who share your interests, even if they are flat earthers. So he asked permission to get into all these groups, and he got into all these groups.
Did he tell him he was a New York Times reporter when he?
I think he did. Yeah, okay. I think one told him to go blow off, but the rest let him in, and it's really really an interesting piece that again was open to the humanity that's there. So hats off to you, Kevin.
I have a number for you.
Okay,
22,000. That's how many people agreed to clean toilets to use free Wi-Fi because they didn't read the terms. Yeah. Purple, which is a company in England that does Wi-Fi hotspots, decided to just kind of have some fun and add for 2 weeks a community service clause into its terms of service agreement. 22,000 people signed up to perform 1,000 hours of menial labor for the Wi-Fi access, including... And by the way, Purple says Purple gets to choose which of these you do. Cleansing local parks of animal waste, providing hugs to stray cats and dogs, manually relieving sewer blockages, cleaning portable labs at local festivals and events, painting snail shells to brighten up their existence, and scraping chewing gum off the street. Just to make sure people were reading this, they did offer a prize for anyone who contacted the company and pointed out the clause. One person did it. In other words, one person in 22,000 reads the terms of services.
Yep. Good gimmick. Yes.
Isn't that, it was fun. Yeah. Did you get her?
All right, Stacey.
I did. Okay.
You're on.
Now I've got all my pieces. There's a lot. So there's this piece.
Still doesn't look like a breast pump to me.
And this is the part that looks like the breast pump. It comes with its own little...
Oh, it's a nice little felt case. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow, so, wait a minute. Should we do a game where we guess what that could possibly be?
Let's do it.
What could that be? Chat room?
I'll make it work.
Let's see all the parts. She had to go get something. She had to plug in something. It comes with a case. It has a little strip. She said a name.
Ready.
It goes on your arm.
It's going to punch
it
Leo.
It doesn't go on my arm.
Oh, it doesn't go on your arm, but you could put it on your arm if you wanted to. Does anybody in the chat room any idea what this is?
Is a fist going to come out of it?
Is it a...
No, so I don't know if you can see it rising and falling. But
is it a
fills
bone
up
phone?
It fills up with air.
Oh, it's rising. It's getting bigger. Yeah. Does that help anybody? See? It's not. Is it a sphygma manometer? Is it a blood pressure measure?
Let's see what people are saying in the chat room.
Is it heating pad? No. Air cast? Is it an air cast? Is it a to-go food box? Is it another oven?
Drone?
All right. Do you guys give up?
Yeah.
Yes,
clearly.
You're like, clearly we have given up. It is an anti-snoring device.
What? No one would have guessed that.
What?
No one would have guessed that.
Oh, this is the thing that goes under the mattress that lifts you up?
It goes under your pillow. It goes inside your pillow. That sleeve that I showed you fits inside your pillow.
Yeah. And if then you start to snore, it raises your head?
It does. It raises it up to this level. This is the high level.
Wait a minute. Hold on. We're looking at the video right now.
Looking at a woman hit a man.
Yeah, because he's a snorer. I find women snore just as much as men.
So I got it because I snore.
Yeah. Let's see. Go ahead. Show Stacy so we can see what she's doing here. Okay.
Show us. So this part right here is the speaker, and it goes next to your bed.
So that looked like a mouse. I thought that was a mouse.
It does. Okay.
Speaker
it looks
or
like
microphone?
Sorry. Microphone. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. He obviously understands how this works.
Yes. So it's a microphone, and it detects, it says it detects snoring. What it really does, it detects a lot of noise, and you can adjust the sensitivity on it. I don't know if you can see that. And then what else to know about it? I mean, it's smart only in the sense that it has Bluetooth to talk to the pump, which is located in this case.
Is there an audible?
So it's audible if you're like laying on your side, and I'm going to turn it off because it's like.
How strong is it? Is it strong enough?
It's really strong. So like this is, it's deflating right now, but like.
And it lifts you up enough that that's enough to stop snoring?
Yeah. So the idea, and this I don't know because I am not a doctor, and this is something they sent me to review. I haven't purchased it.
Okay.
I will be sending it back. Don't worry. But. The thinking is that it moves your head enough that it engages your throat muscles that have relaxed or something.
Right.
Again, not a doctor. So I have been trying it for a week.
Yeah.
And sadly, I don't snore every night, so we can't figure out if it's changed anything or not. So I'm not recommending that
this. Clearly, you haven't audibly snored, though, because otherwise you would say it's not working.
Well, see, this is my issue. I have audibly snored because I have woken myself up snoring because I am freaked out when I snore
I should say this, and I'll say this not just for you, but everybody. Sleep apnea is a huge problem, and undiagnosed sleep apnea, especially in women, because doctors often don't believe women have this problem, can kill you.
Yes.
So take it seriously. If you snore and ask your partner if you wake up suddenly sometimes or you stop breathing at times, that's a serious condition. And a lot of people have it.
I'm just allergic to everything in my bedroom. So.
Oh, the snoring is like because you can't.
It's because I can't breathe.
Can't breathe. All right.
I live in Austin. It's like the allergy capital of the world. Yeah. Anyway, so this is the device. I can say that I've slept on it and I don't notice it. My husband hasn't woken me up yet and said that I've been snoring. I have not recorded my whatever.
And it doesn't tell you whether it inflated during the night or not. There's no record.
No, there's no record because there's no app. Well, maybe there's an app actually.
So you don't need Dr. Mom has said this does not win her seal of approval.
There you go.
And sent me a link to the Mayo Clinic's Diseases and Conditions, What Causes Snoring page. And it could be your mouth anatomy, alcohol consumption, nasal problems, sleep deprivation, sleep position. So it's typically most frequent last with sleeping on the back as gravity's effect on the throat narrows the airway. So that might, Dr. Mom, confirm this idea that at least for this particular snorer, it could fix it. Now, the one to worry about is obstructive sleep apnea, which is a serious condition and you've got to pay attention to. So, anyway.
Very cool, Stacey.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Tell us how it works for you.
I'm thinking, yeah, I will. I guess I've got to record myself. This is actually one of my challenges, is I'm not sure how to really test it because it feels pretty
Amin Ra in our chat room says he finds a nice cold glass of water in the face is very effective for curing snoring.
Yes. My husband, who is the nicest man, as we all know, he pats me gently on the side. So then I'm like, that's not going to be effective.
I use the elbow and the ribs method. That's much more effective.
that would be more effective. He's just like, he pats me and I'm like, yes, do you need something? He's like, you're snoring. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's very nice of him. So he wakes you up and stops you. I think that's good. Mm. Lisa just gives me an elbow in the ribs. You know, I tried for a while is those Breathe Right strips.
They never worked for me.
It didn't seem like it did much either for me.
No, it doesn't work much for me.
But it makes
either.
Me look like an athlete. I got the problem too. So then I put some dark circles under my eyes and I look like I'm going to the football
you
game.
You say one Montana, game. Two Montana.
Yeah. Huh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't really. I was gonna save Bixby for my thing of the week, but it was so
you've done it already.
It was so dopey. I didn't really care to do it that way. I don't want to plug it. So I think we can just wrap this up.
I think this is good. Yeah,
this is good.
So next week I will hope to see you from Australia at 6:30 in the morning there.
Oh, this is the one where you're gonna do it from the Sydney Harbour and we'll see the bridge and the sunrise in the background.
And I just froze.
And amazingly, Skype will work better down under. It's the Coriolis effect.
Yes.
You will find Jeff Jarvis at buzzmachine.com, his blog. Don't forget all those great books that he writes, including What Would Google Do?, Public Parts, Geek Sparing Gifts, Gutenberg the Geek. And, of course, right here each week, he's at Jeff Jarvis on the Twitter. Stacey Higginbotham hosts the Stacey on IoT site, stacyoniot.com, and the podcast, IoT Podcast with Kevin Toefel at iotpodcast.com. And she's at Giga Stacey on the Twitter and also joins us each week as we talk about stuff. Wednesdays, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, 20:30 UTC, right here on twit.tv/live. If you want to watch live, join us in the chat room, irc.twit.tv, or subscribe. You can find out more about the show at twit.tv/twig. Use your favorite way to get podcasts to subscribe to the show. We wouldn't want you to miss an episode of This Week in Google. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Twig.